So we're going to move right on. Hopefully, there we go. If you would take your Bible, please, and if you would open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The ESV says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, either good or evil." Now there's one more passage that I want to bring to you, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And these two passages work together. In 1 Corinthians 3, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, well, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved. But he'll be saved through fire. I want you to know that our day is going to be kind of abbreviated, simply because we don't want to overemphasize what's going on. But there's coming a day when we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there are two or three judgments. First, there's a judgment as sinners. Do you remember what we preach all the time, that our sins were nailed to the cross of Christ? If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, if we trust Him and He alone for salvation, then we are going to understand clearly that our sins are forgiven. Now, I'm going to back up a few slides and see if I can... Oh, there we are. We're judged as sinners. And what that means is our sins have been nailed to the cross and we have been forgiven. Now, it's very possible that you are out here listening today and you have never accepted Jesus as Savior. Then there's another judgment coming. You're going to be judged as a sinner. You'll either be judged at the cross, where Christ's death will be applied to you, or you'll be judged at the great white throne judgment. From that judgment, there is no salvation. There is no decision of heaven or hell. If you make the great white throne judgment, it's over with, because that is a judgment of the wicked. The judgment seat of Christ, however, is for the believer. We can be judged as sons. In fact, the Bible is very clear when it says in Hebrews chapter 12, "What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Now, folks, there are disciplines that come all the time. God disciplines us because He doesn't discipline anyone except His own children. He will not discipline those who are lost. They're not His. They will be judged, yes. And they will be punished, yes. But they'll be punished and judged based upon what they do in this life with Jesus Christ. But we're also going to be judged as servants. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. We're going to be judged for sure as servants. It's not going to determine whether I go to heaven or hell. Oh no, that's at the cross. But it will be determined whether we are going to be saved or singed. We're going to be in heaven, but we're not going to be enjoying all of it, because sometimes our works are going to be not for salvation, but they're going to be for different motives. Now, that's where we're going to come to the main part of the message. And I'm going to zip through this a little bit. There are four outline points that I heard back when I was still in high school. I have no idea of their originality, but I'm going to use them because it makes a big difference. These are simple. They're clean. They're right down the line. First, the judgment seat of Christ will be a place of review. Review, R-E-V-I-E-W. You see, your life is going to pass away. You're going to pass away. Yeah, like the old cartoons, you know, when the moment of death, your life passes before you. Well, that's not exactly true, but when you stand before Christ, your life is going to pass before you. You're going to see it. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. God's candid camera is grinding away. God's tape player is working. His recording devices are always on. The stenographer is writing it down. And our works, after we're saved, are going to be judged because it'll be a place of review. Now, this word translated judgment seat is the word in Greek, bema, B-E-M-A. The bema was the award stand where the rewards were given to those who ran races in the Olympics or who competed in the field the field events, the discus, the javelin, things like that. And what their reward was a simple crown. It was a crown of laurel leaves from the laurel tree, but it was called a bema judgment. The judges would sit there and they would watch. And as they were looking at the runners, they were making sure that it was done in review. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9, they are running for a corruptible crown, leaves that will wilt, but we are running for an incorruptible crown. We're not going to get a crown of laurel leaves. We're going to get a crown that is made by the hand of God. It's also going to be a place of reward. Now, I've got a lot of friends who say, oh, I don't believe in rewards. Oh, my goodness. If you're going to reward people, then you're going to have to get a real good standard. Well, you know, I didn't coin the phrase reward. I didn't invent the concept of reward. Do you know who did? Well, the Lord did. If you have a finger in 1 Corinthians 3, the passage we read a minute ago, you're going to hear that concept. It says, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. God's concept is reward for works after salvation. You see, we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. We are saved unto good works. Read it in Ephesians 2. But here's what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And suddenly we have an idea that from the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew 16, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. After salvation, we give our heart to Christ, and then we work for him. The old hymn said, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. We'll work till Jesus comes, and we shall be gathered home. Now, we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Why would Jesus say that in Matthew 6? He said it because there's going to be reward, and the place of the judgment seat will be a reward. Gold, silver, precious stones. First, second, third. Gold, silver, precious stones. Let's leave it at that. The judgment seat of Christ will be a time of review where your life is reviewed by the Lord. It's going to be a time of reward where you're going to receive a reward. Well, what is the criteria for the reward? Well, you can write this down. First, it's for the quality of service, not the quantity. The quality, not the quantity. For other foundation no one can lay except that which is Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 3:11. You see, you've received Christ, and you're going to build upon that foundation. You may not build in great quantity, but what you build will be in great quality. And here's the difference. Had you rather have a truckload of hay or a handful of diamonds? Clearly, the hay weighs more. There's more of it in volume. There's more of it in mass. But diamonds are much more precious. So the quality of what you do, not the quantity, but the quality, is so much better. The Bible says that Paul talking to Timothy, he said, in the masteries, no man is crowned except he strive lawfully. You see, you've got to stay in bounds. You can't break the rules. I used to referee football. I was a referee. I was a umpire that stays in the linebacker position. I never did do much line work, but I was always in the mainstream of things. And it was not my job to determine the outcome of the game. It was my job to make sure that those who participated stayed within the rules. And if they did not stay within the rules, if they would grab and hold and trip and kick and bite, spit, and do everything else, that's not in the rule. So it's the quality of your work, not the quantity. But it's also what you did, but what you attempt to do. What have you attempted to do for the Lord? Are you just watching the message and then going on about your business? Well, listen, there were five young men who went down to Ecuador. They were going down to preach and try to evangelize the Aka Indians. Well, those men were killed summarily. They didn't have a whole long life to live, but they had quality of life. In fact, it was in their heart to take the gospel to the Aka Indians. They paved the way for other missionaries to go, and as those other missionaries went in, they were able to bring salvation to that tribe in Ecuador. Because somebody attempted to do it. Now, you may have neighbors that are not like you. That doesn't mean you're not responsible for them. And you're not responsible for their salvation. No, no, no. That's God and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. You're responsible to make sure they have heard the message. And it may take someone else to see them come to salvation. But it's a team effort. We're doing it because we attempt to do it. But it's not just that either. Why did you do it? Why did you do the work that you did? Well, the Bible says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. There were a lot of times I got up and went to church because Mama made me. I didn't necessarily want to go. But then there came a time when I wanted to go. And I know many of you are suffering some of that. You want to go. You would love to have that fellowship Bible study time. You'd like to have that fellowship prayer time. We'll get back to that. It's just going to take a little effort, but we're going to get back to it where we can meet again safely in the power of God. And we're not going to do it foolishly. We're going to do it practically. But it's a matter of why you do it. It's your motive. What is my motivation for serving God? What's my motivation for working for Him? Well, Jesus said, there are some who sound like a trumpet, but they sound a trumpet before they give their money, but they give their money so that they can be recognized. And Jesus said, Matthew 6:2, they have their reward. That's the only reward they're going to get. There are other times, Matthew 6:5, where people prayed on the street corner, they'd raise their head and raise their hands and then make a big ado about their prayer. Jesus said that prayer is not worthy because they now have their reward. They were seen by men, and that's all they cared about. Jesus then says in chapter 6, verse 6 of Matthew, when you pray, go into your closet. Go close the door. And when you pray in secret, the Father will, get this, reward you openly. It's not a matter of the position of the body. It's the attitude of the heart. And Jesus said that we can do things with a wrong motive. We can do it completely with a wrong motive. And when we do that, we get whipped. Foolishly, I drove all the way to McKinney this morning, and I got there, and I looked around, and I said, you know, there's not going to be anybody show up. So I packed up the car, locked up the church, and drove back home, and made it just in time to, well, within a few minutes, we got on. Thank you, Matthew, for helping me do that. So why did you do something? Why? What's your motive behind it? The Bible says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's award. But whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, therefore I say, he will not lose his reward. You see, it's the motive. Matthew 10, 41 and 42. Well, it doesn't matter whether you are Billy Graham or a nursery worker. It's going to look not at how much you did, but why you did it and what you did given the ability and talent that he's given you. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you may have Billy Graham ability. I don't know. You may have a prayer warrior ability. You may be able to pray the way Elisha did, or Elijah. You may be able to pray like the old prophets did, but you've gotten tired. You don't pray like that anymore. Maybe you were used to be a great teacher, but you decided that you need to slow down a little bit. Pardon me. When Samuel, let me stop there. God is going to look at what you attempt. He's going to look at the motive you have when you attempt. We're going to make it, folks. The Great White Throne Judgment is a judgment for sinners. the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a place of renewal. Now, let me go to the third thing. It's going to be a place of reevaluation. It's been made popular in the NFL as the referee will come out and he will, after looking at the video, he will say, upon further review or upon reevaluation, further review. Now, what are we talking about here? You remember in the Old Testament, the story of Samuel, who was going to the house to find a new king. Saul had already disappointed, so he went to the house of Jesse, and Jesse had some sons. One of them was named, I should know this, and forgive me, I'm getting old. My memory is not what it ought to be. But the Lord told Samuel, I don't necessarily want you to go pick Eliab. He is a tall, tan, terrific, fine man. He'd be a great leader. But 1 Samuel 16, the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance nor the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for a man looketh on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. And God told Samuel to go find David. And he found David, and all of a sudden, that which the world would have picked, God did not choose. That which God chose turned out to be King David, the greatest king that Israel had up until that time. The judgment seat of Christ will be a time of reevaluation. We're going to check it out. We're going to look at it again. And because we're going to look at it again, we have responsibility. You see, to whom much is given, much will be required. When Jesus went to the temple, the Pharisees would bring in their money and they would blow their trumpet. We've already alluded to that. But there was one young lady who came up, or one older lady, and she brought what has now been memorialized throughout the world as a widow's mite. It was the most she had. Eliab had the most physical appearance, but he didn't have the heart that David had. David had the heart. Many in Jerusalem had more money than this little widow, but Jesus singled her out because the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a place of reevaluation. Many that are first will be last, and many that shall be last shall be first. Now, I've got a very long story to tell, but I don't think I'm going to do it now. I'm going to go ahead and save that for another time. It's about the conversion of Dwight L. Moody, but we'll just hold on to that. Let's talk a little bit about the regret. The regret. The judgment seat of Christ will be a place of review. It'll be a place of reevaluation. It'll be a place of regret, unfortunately. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 3:15. If any man's work shall be burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved as of by fire. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, it means this. Jesus is our foundation, salvation. We are then endued with power from the Holy Spirit who is within us, who gives us spiritual gifts and spiritual strength, and he enables us to work. Now, when he does, we go about working. Sometimes we have ideas that never come to fruition. But when that happens, it's just not that important. It's a matter that we wanted to do it in our heart. David wanted to build a temple for God, but God told him, no, David, you can't. I'm going to let Solomon do it. David, you're a man of blood, a war, and I'm not going to let that happen. So here, what I'm going to do is give to you that blessed hope. I'm going to give to you the power to develop, but you're not going to build the temple. Now, he may give some of you abilities to build the temple. You may be. That might be wonderful. Well, that's not going to satisfy at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be regret. Many of us are so busy wasting our time on things that are insignificant. That's wood, hay, and stubble. Others, like some of our members, and I'm very impressed with them, they will write notes. They will send little cards of encouragement. They will make phone calls or send texts. That's important. They will pray when no one else knows that they're being prayed for or being prayed with. And when that happens, folks, there's going to be regret. We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll say, "Ricky, you were given this great ability. Why didn't you use it?" I said, "Lord, I did the best I could." And then he will strike the match and set a torch, set the fire to my works and what I've done, and I'll be chastised. You see, some of you who are listening to me now, you used to be so regular at church, it was clockwork. You used to work in the nursery, clockwork. You used to serve on committees, clockwork. But it could be that you've decided that you're going to let somebody else do it now. Well, folks, we're at a point where we don't have that privilege. We've got to step up and do it. We have to step out and do it. Whatever little gift God has given us, we must do it. Some of you used to be prayer warriors, but now you can't get on your knees and pray. That's okay. Sit in your chair. Get uncomfortable. But please, don't neglect prayer. Some of you used to be soul winners. Don't neglect your witness. Don't neglect that which God has put in you, because the day will reveal it. And when the day does reveal it, how are we going to stand up? Are we going to be able to say, "Lord, I have served you well, but I got tired. I decided to retire." You know, there's no retirement for the work of God. You'll say, "Well, I can't do anything anymore." Oh, yes, you can. I don't care how homebound you are. I don't care how tired you get. It doesn't matter. The same Holy Spirit that saved you is empowering you today. You can do that which God has called you to do. The judgment seat of Christ. Victor will be preaching next week. We may have to set him up from home because I hear there's another snowstorm coming about Wednesday or Thursday. We'll play that by ear. We'll see. But whatever it is, you be by your Lord. You do what God is calling you to do, so that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and God gives you that which was brought to you by His Spirit, then I want you to simply say, "Lord, I'm your servant. What you inspire me to do, what you empower me to do, I will do it." And it's not going to be the quantity of your work, but the quality. Of what sort it is. We're going to pray. If you have prayer needs or prayer requests, send those to us on text. And as we get them on text, we'll pray for you. Sweet Lord in heaven, this day has been a confusing day for some of us. The snow is here. We're wanting to go to church. We've got viruses all over. But Father, there's a lot we can do in our home. Our telephones work, our hands work, the mail is running. And Lord, we can do a lot of things. We can write the check. We can give of our substance. We can give of our lives. We can do everything that you have empowered and called us to do. And Lord, we do not want to stand before you on that judgment day, not determining salvation. Heaven and hell is settled this side of earth, of heaven. But Father, we want to pray and ask you to strengthen us now. Give us your love, your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. May you be blessed, and may the Lord give you strength. Amen.